Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Today, we got a good friend of mine, Michael Perkins. How you doing, Michael?
I'm blessed, brother. Welcome and blessed to be here. You know, it's super excited and feel welcomed already.
I appreciate that. It's always fun to have you around, be around you. You are a very energetic person and you bring a very positive vibe to anything you do. So it's I've been looking forward to this. I know we've been working on it for a while, trying to align our schedules. I'm happy we could do this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You and me both, brother, for sure.
Tell us a little bit about your background as far as where you're from, the athletics that you have played, and where you are now in your career.
Okay, awesome. Well, just to give a little brief overview of Brother Perkins' little journey in sports. Like Brother Halleck said, my name is Michael Perkins. I attended St. Francis High School, the illustrious school we both get to work at now from our first 2 years of high school. As I was a student here, I also was an athlete that participated in football, basketball, and track. So I was a multi-sport athlete. I was busy all throughout the years. As you know, I was constantly in your office, always trying to get out of practice or so.
Quite often.
Right? You know it. And then from there, after my sophomore year, moved to Indiana, where I finished my high school career in football, basketball, and track. Still did all three all the way to my senior year. After senior year, had a wonderful opportunity to go to Jackson State and play some football down there, where my dad actually played football with Walter Payton. So it was a little bit of a full circle moment. I was like, man, you know.
I did not know that. That's kind of cool. He played with Walter Payton. Walter Payton.
Yep, he played with the Walter Payton down at Jackson State. So it was kind of cool that I was able to play on the same field that he and Walter Payton got only to not only play on, but also got coached by some of his former teammates. So one of his quarterbacks, while he was there as a student, got to coach me as a receivers coach, as Coach Derek McCall. So it was definitely a full circle moment, having a lot of my dad's classmates and guys that he's known being around me, helped me to matriculate in the college game and really seeing that the college world was a whole different game than high school. It was not only a full-time job when it came to, you know, classes and making sure I was taking care of my body, getting into the training room, but also watching film and the study of not only plays, but also studying for classes and traveling and all of the other things, I guess, that flow on with being a college athlete. And after I was done playing football, all of my playing years was done, I actually picked up coaching. So the school actually offered me a position to be a graduate assistant. At that time, I was wrapping up my master's. So it was even cooler for me because I was able to stay on, finish my master's, and then also get into the coaching world, which I had always seen myself as a coach throughout the summer. I would always do youth sports camps with my family's community center. I was right down the street from our campus. So it was super awesome just to be able to pour into young men and young ladies and to see the love that I had for the sport really transplanted into other young men and other young ladies. But then from there, after coaching 1 year as a graduate assistant, I wrapped up with my master's in sports management and then just made one illustrious call to St. Francis, you know? And really it was funny because I was just calling the school to actually just catch up and to see how everybody was doing, see who was still back here. So made that one call to Mr. Jordan and he set me up with the interview with Tom. And now for the last 8 going on 9 years, I've been teaching and coaching at St. Francis. Yeah, it's almost
8-9 years. You're kidding me. Brother. It's gone by quick then.
Right? Like literally, it is literally flown by. Like I'm already sitting there looking like, wait a minute. Dang, I'm already almost coming up on my 10 year of being at SF, man. This is wild. So I've been able to coach here football, basketball, and a little bit of track. So the 3 sports that I got to be able to participate in, just being able to pour into the athletes the way that I was poured into when I was here as a student athlete, and also the love that I got in college has really not only continued to inspire me to keep on coaching, but I've also picked up some outside coaching outside of the school as well. I work with a nonprofit called the Foothill Knights. They're a kind of athletic-based nonprofit that is built on reaching out to impoverished areas with underserved children and really teaching them the proper ways of playing the games of football, basketball, track, or any other athletic sport that they might want to participate in. And we get them up on campus and also get them to mingle and intertwine with other St. Francis students to give them that opportunity that many of these young men and young women might not have. So that's kind of led me to where I am now, brother.
It's been fun watching you develop as a young man. I've known you, obviously, since your high school, first 2 year days, way back when, to watch you become the young man that you are now, the young family man with the career going, has been fun from my perspective. And I'm sure you're starting to see that from your perspective, being a coach for so many years. It's a slap in the face. I didn't realize it's almost been 10 years.
It's coming up.
Like, that is, that's a blink of an eye.
Yeah,
man, I didn't realize it's been almost 10 years here.
Almost 10 years, brother.
Yep. That's fantastic. You said something there, the proper ways to play the game and to show these young men, young women, depending on the sport, the proper way. You touch upon that. We had a good friend of yours on our first episode. So we go back a ways, Dietrich Riley. He said something very similar. How often, going back to your playing days, did you come across a coach that forces you to do this? Because now you're coaching, like you said, the proper way. Did you come across a lot of coaches back in the day that did, well, the improper way? Mm-hmm. And that's why you're kind of using the quote unquote proper way.
Yes. Yes. And sad to say, but true, I did. And I feel like, you know, that's another reason that gives me that passion and that kind of fire under my butt to really be that kind of coach that teaches the proper way. Because as a young kid, I had those experiences of the bad coaches. What I like to call them is the live through me coaches. You know, they're the coaches trying to still live their lives, you know, through the younger athletes and trying to, you know, push out their dreams through the younger kids and not really being a coach, you know? So I've not only witnessed it, now being a parent, my wonderful daughter has had the opportunity of trying out basketball, trying out softball, and I've witnessed some of her coaches not really care as what I would consider the best way to kind of reference it. They're not really caring about the athlete. They're just more caring about the result. They're more just caring about, hey, can we get this win or can we get this loss? And sports are more than wins and losses. Sports is actually really teaching you a lot about life and a lot about the things that you're going to have to battle and combat in life. You know, those tough times where you don't have anybody to depend on, or you have to, you know, push through and you're really, really tired. Those are the real kind of lessons that you should be getting from sports and you should be getting from your coaching that I was able to not really see too much in my earlier days. And I can really say that the first time I got good coaching was actually when I got into middle school, when I got into my junior high. And that's a shout out to a gentleman named Doug Ravesty. He used to coach at Pasadena Christian. He was a coach at Maranatha High School for a little while. And he also was their athletic director for a little while. Doug Ravesty was just one of those coaches that really taught the game. I remember going to one of his first practices and literally we practiced for about 30, 45 minutes without touching a ball. And that was new for me. I'm sorry.
That was unheard of. That's unheard of. Like, what do you mean, playing football without a ball? What the
you
heck?
Feel me? What do you mean? Like, how is this going to work here? But just really breaking down the fine points of football, you know, the minute detail of what you actually needed to be able to do, to take the proper steps, to have the proper blocking techniques, to knowing where my hands are supposed to be fitting, you know, whether they're inside the breastplate or outside on the shoulders. Those are things that I never got before. as a not only a student of the game, but also as an athlete, I gravitated to that. I said, well, dang, like, this is new. This is awesome. It was kind of like what I like to tell my kids. I'm giving them the answers to the test. And I want you to succeed on this test. I want you to use this cheat sheet. And it was like, finally, when I got a great coach, I was getting that cheat sheet. I was getting the, oh, wow, if I did this, oh, snap, it made it so much easier for me. And the game started to go. And then from the Doug Ravistes, I got introduced to the wonderful coaches like Jim Bonds, Mihai Papadopoulos.
Yeah, great people. Great, you know, fantastic people. Couldn't say enough about those guys.
Yeah, for real. Just all around great guys. You know, and even when I left California and went to Indiana, I still got great coaches out there. Mark Hoffman was a great football coach for me. Brett Palazzotto was a great track coach for me. So, you know, there were a multitude of coaches that I was able to start to see. You care about me because of how you're coaching me. Stepping back and out of those arenas, I was able to see those coaches that really didn't care. And so now, as a coach myself, it's amazing for not only families, but also other coaches that'll come up to me and tell me, like, you really care about this game. Yeah, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm not only trying to teach you more about life, but you're placing your life in my hands. People can still get hurt playing these sports. You can really be significantly injured. And if you're not taught the right way, that percentage of being injured goes up. And now you're looking like...
Dramatically. You're so right.
Yeah.
So right. I loved how you gave a little nod to some of your former coaches, because that's, as an individual that's constantly every year in sports, you never know if you've made a difference until sometimes 5, 10, 20 years later, somebody comes back. So to hear you give a nod to Doug and Jim, Mihail, Brett, I'm sure I missed one or two, whether they know it or not, they impacted your life.
Yep.
And I've seen you coach for, well, I didn't realize, almost 10 years now. Damn. And I see that passion and I see that quote unquote care about the student athlete. I'm sure they, as you said, a coach cared about me. I'm sure they see that darn near every day with you, because you're so passionate when you're with those kids out on the field or on the court. You're not an individual trying to live your life through their wins.
Yep.
And I think you touched on that, which is so important nowadays, because we don't see that anymore. We don't see that in athletics. We don't see that in the development of the youth. Yep. And it is so important to see not the wins and the losses, but the life wins and the life losses that they can learn from.
Yeah.
And I see you do that, which is, stepping back, watching, fun for me, because we know at some point, all of us come up against a little bit of turbulence in our life, a little bit of something we have to fight through.
Yeah.
And if they've never gone through it, that student athlete's not going to know how to react.
Man.
Rolling on to something you said earlier about athletes and safety and how important it is, because it doesn't matter what sport you're coaching, any student, anytime can become, excuse me, not just student, any individual, doesn't have to be a student, because I know you're working a lot, like you said, with the nonprofit away from the schools. What is some of the biggest challenges you see nowadays as a coach of so many years, keeping the young athletes safe on the field, on the court, off the field, off the court, what have you?
I would say the biggest challenge as a coach nowadays is dealing with that instant gratification. You know, it's that I want it now. I don't want to go through the work. I don't want to watch the film. I don't want to learn from step one through step three. No. I want it now, coach. Teach me how to be great now. I want the accolades now, coach. I want all of those great things that I see on social media and everything. It's sad. We're now living in a society where so many of the youth are looking for, you know, that kind of handout of, hey, just give it to me. Hey, it's my turn. Hey, I waited for a couple of weeks and now it's my turn. You know, gone are the days of, you know, the young man that I would remember or I would try to be like, where it's like, it's going to take me years to get there. It's going to take me time to get there. Like, I got to take steps. I got to be able to grow through this. And a lot of these young men don't really want to grow through it at all. So that's what I would say one of the biggest kind of I wouldn't even say just in sports. I would say just in life in general. Like a lot of these kids are, I need that instant gratification. If I don't get it, now I'm going to stop pushing. I feel less motivated. I feel, you know, I don't want to go as hard. I'm not going to give my best because I didn't get it, because I didn't receive that accolade or that accomplishment or that kind of acknowledgement that I was expecting to receive. I wasn't expecting to do all of this work and then continue to have to do all of this work. So it's tough. And what I remind my kids all the time, even before we start working out, is I'm like, you're already doing half of the battle. You being out here right now by making this decision, that's half of the battle. But now that you're already here, give your best. Because I promise you, this time that we're going to work out is going to go by fast. You're going to look up and it's already going to be done. And you're already going to be like, wait, an hour went by that fast? 2 hours went by that fast? Yeah, it's already done. But look at how great you got, because you wasn't worried about time. You weren't worried about, oh, now that I did this one drill, give me my greatness now. No, you were thinking, keep working, keep working, keep working, keep working. It's tough. I see it from working with the youngest of the young, because with our NFL flag program, you know, there are kids down there that are in the third, fourth grade that wants that, you know, instant gratification now. And they're, oh, Mr. Perkins, he got to play and I didn't get to this play. And I'm like, champ, you're going in on defense. Like,
right.
You're about to go play right now. Like, it's okay if you didn't go play on that time. So I see it from all the way down there to even with guys that I work with in college, where it's just like, man, Coach P, I thought when I got this full scholarship that, you know, everything was just going to be given to me. I didn't know that they're going to be treating me like I was a freshman all over again. I'm like, yeah, you're down.
You are a freshman again. What do you expect?
Are a freshman. Yeah. You're a freshman again, for sure.
Yeah,
so.
Gone are the days. I mean, I've seen gone are the days where hard work is expected. Like you said, people just up and run. Yep. There's no longer a second string quarterback. If you look at football, there's no longer a second string point guard. Nope. Yeah, that point guard doesn't make, or that quarterback doesn't make first string, they transfer.
They transfer. Yep. And they leave.
They don't put in the time, the effort to work to beat out that person that's quote unquote the first string.
Yep.
Which I think it's a detriment to this generation's ability to grow.
Yeah, it is. Because all you and I both know how they're going to do it in life.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a job and you have to compete for that job and you don't get that job, then what are you going to do? Are you just, oh, I'm going to go home and I'm going to cry because I didn't get that job. And
I didn't get that promotion, so I'm out. That's it. Just check. We're creating a very interesting future. It'll be interesting to see how it develops. It's such a small little snippet of life went out on the football field, out on the basketball field, the baseball field, the diamond, the track, whatever. But we see it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you and I can both attest, we see it in the classroom.
Definitely.
You know, how many times do we both talk about how, oh, all they had to do was read? Like literally, like it's right there. All you have to do is just read it, champ. It's simple. It's right there for you. But common sense ain't so common nowadays.
Very true. Although if we go back, I mean, I'm sure our mentors thought the same thing about us.
The same thing.
You know, I know I probably didn't always do the work I was supposed to do and put in the time and effort that I needed to do. Yeah, you better raise your hand because I remember you as a student. So,
I was about to say, I could definitely attest to a multitude of times where I fell short. But it was people like yourself. It was people like the Jim Bonds. It was people like the Coach Jordans. It was people like the Brangs in my life that, you know, reminded me of, no, you got to do this work. This isn't going to go away. This is what life is about. Like, either you can step up to the plate and get this work done and continue to push past. One of my coaches, and I forgot who I can credit it to, but he said it's the level of default. Every human being has a level of default where we'll just constantly level out at. This is where we all default. Now, the great ones, they'll push past that level of default. There is a certain thing that every human being can do, and then there's great human beings that step up and go past that level of default. What do you want to be? You just want to be like everybody else, stop at the level of default, and cool, that's all you're going to do? Or are you going to push and be great? You know, because greatness requires work.
That's a great comment. Whichever coach, if you ever figure that out, please let me know. I'd love to talk to that person.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic comment.
Yep.
Now, What are some of the biggest adjustments you had to make moving from being a player, hands-on football, basketball, track, you being the guy, to being a coach and responsible for these young men, young women, their health and safety and development?
I would say one of the kind of, and I would call it a great development. It was a challenging development, but it was a great development. I would say one of the greatest developments that I've had from, you know, transferring, you know, from a player to a coach mindset would be just the whole, you know, learning how to teach, learning how to take something that I learned in a certain way and now being able to teach that either in the same way that I learned it or in a total new different way than I learned it, but it applies perfectly
because
with this man or this young lady.
Not everybody learns the same way.
Nope, especially in sports. So, you know, I saw that a lot in the youth camps that I used to work with when I was a freshman and a sophomore in college, just seeing how traditionally I would come out like all my other coaches and be like, all right, guys, go do this, beep, and just say it and then see that that didn't work. From there, I started to pick up like, okay, I need to model this. I need to give an example. And then from myself giving an example, it then went from me choosing some kids to be an example and seeing like, hey, okay, he can be a great example for his classmates. Let me go ahead and doing that. And then from
I'm sure you got a great reaction out of the kids when you called them out to be that example too.
Exactly. Because now they're seeing like, oh, dang, coach thinks that I do it correct. Like, wow, this is cool for me. This is great for me. So it's the multitude of ways that I'm even still learning now of how to teach the game, you know, how to convey this message that can clearly be conveyed in a multitude of ways. And it's awesome. I love it. It really actually motivates me, you know, even more. You know, I love the challenge of when I meet a new athlete or, you know, someone that's trying something new that have never played a certain sport. And now it's just building from ground zero. It's kind of like molding clay. So I can say it's the greatest challenge, but it's also the greatest accomplishment and the greatest kind of achievement when you look at where you started and where you finished. For example, Max Garrison. I love MG. I've known that young man literally since his preschool days almost.
Talk that much when he was that little?
Yes, he did.
Yes. Oh, I love that kid.
Yes.
I love that kid.
He did, man. I love my guy. But just to be able to see, you know, how Max's running form used to be so wild and so crazy and be all wild and how, you know, getting with him and teaching him how to run properly. And now looking at him as a college safety, doing big stuff and running smoothly and really, you know, performing ways that he never thought that he would be able to do at that younger age. And it's like, yeah, I taught him in a different way. And just, you know, just that growth of being able to just constantly learn new ways of connecting with these athletes. Because in the beginning it was, oh man, I'm an athlete. You be an athlete.
Totally.
Right. I took a step back and I'm like, dang, I'm being like those old coaches that I hated. Those live through me coaches. Like, no, man, that's not me. I can't just sit here and just try to yell at a kid and be like, yo, go do it like this. But nah, like it's constant growth. It's always, you know, a opportunity to reflect at yourself as well too, as learning how to connect with these kids, because you then get to see kind of, you know, some of their upbringing, some of their backgrounds. I've worked with some kids that have had, you know, kind of tough dads that have been like the, oh, if you don't get this right, I'm going to be hard on you. So then, you know, when I coach them and I'm giving them a total different aspect of, it's okay, champ, come here, I love you. Like, it's all good. And seeing that connection, you know, that's another thing that I've learned in coaching. You know, you can be so much of an impact on somebody's life just through coaching them the proper way that you don't even realize that you're not only being a coach, but a male role model, a father figure for some of these individuals.
Because you don't know what's going on their home front. Have them for those few hours every day. You might be the role model. You might be the sole role model.
Yep.
You know, mom or dad could be single parent taking care of the family. Yep. And this is their time where they get to do something and they're looking up to their coach.
Yep. Big time. So it's been a challenge, but it's one of those challenges that I love. It's when I was like, man, I'm so excited that I got this new kid. And now how can I, you know, teach them how to do that? And even with my NFL flag kids, it's evolved more into now, you know, I'll take some of our young men from St. Francis and I'll have them coach and referee down at the NFL flag. So now I'm not only teaching them how to be leaders of men, but now I'm learning more of how to implement that role modelness of being a leader. Now,
that mentorship for future mentors.
Yep.
Fantastic. Yep.
So it's awesome, man. And I love it. I honestly, you know, it's tough for me not to be, you know, coaching down on the lower levels with my guys, but you know, I feel like I'm still connecting with them in a multitude of other ways.
Now, you mentioned a couple of times the NFL
flag.
Is it flag football you're doing? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I know not everybody has heard about that connection. Granted, flag football is booming right now, whether it's at the high school level, you see it college a little bit. During the Pro Bowl this year, they were playing a little bit of it.
They did.
It is absolutely blowing up. And at the high school level, it has become in CIF a full-fledged sport. And you're seeing it across the nation, just blowing up female athletics. So can you tell us a little bit about that, how you're involved, what got you involved, and what the attachment to the NFL is?
So super cool. I actually got involved through one of our current young men who is actually about to be a freshman coming in the fall, named Arthur Mourinho. So his dad actually was partnering at one time with another gentleman named Patrick Williams at Pasadena High School. They have a NFL flag program that's been running for the last couple of years. And so Miss Mourinho had reached out to me because I was working with his son with our Foothill Knights program, our 7-on-7 nonprofit program. And he was just telling me about how St. Francis would be a perfect place for kids that are in the La Cañada area and all around kind of surrounding area, because they were all driving to Pasadena to go do NFL flag. And so he introduced me to Patrick Williams, wonderful guy who's been running the Blue Chip Youth Sports Organization for a while. And then from there, Pat and I teamed up and we got the Foothill NFL Flag League rolling. And so these leagues are actually all connected through Blue Chip Youth Organization. And Blue Chip Youth Organization is sponsored by the Los Angeles Rams. So the Rams are our primary NFL connection. And actually the Rams will be looking to do another camp with us this summer. They did their first one last summer with us here on the campus for their youth and for the kids. And they'll be looking to do another one coming up this summer as well. But it's just a wonderful opportunity for, you know, any young man or young lady. That's the reason I love it so much. A young man or a young lady to get an opportunity to play flag football or to experience football and to kind of get introduced to it. And I feel like what flag is doing, it's decreasing the stigma that, you know, has kind of been put on football with the movie Concussion and with, you know, a lot of the kind of CTE and everything else that's going on. So there was a big kind of not negative stereotype for football and football players, but there was a big stereotype at the time, especially when that movie came out a couple of years ago, that had kind of deteriorated a lot of people from wanting to play football. And I feel like NFL flag and programs like this are kind of helping to encourage people to not only learn more about the game, but also encourage the participation of the game as well. So for the last 3 years, we've been doing NFL flag here at St. Francis. We do a fall league, we do a winter league, and we do a spring league. Right now we're in our spring league week 5. So we have about 8 weeks. So we got
a lot of weeks.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We got 8 weeks. We get it going, brother, for sure. And it's normally 8 to 7 weeks per season. So we do at least about 21 to 24 weeks per year of football. And it's awesome because, you know, once again, we're not only teaching the game, we're, you know, getting to expose the game to many young ladies and young men that have never played before. We're giving our students the opportunity of not only getting service hours and serving their community, but teaching about a game that they love and also learning how to be a teacher, how to be a leader, how to be a mentor to these young men and young ladies. And then also, you know, it's just another wonderful light to get people up on campus and they can get to see, you know, the greatness of St. Francis.
So they're learning about life and life examples and how to deal with situations and they're having fun by learning some type of athletics, which is teamwork and hard work. And that's really cool.
Everything that you'll need in life as an adult.
Yeah, that's very true.
For sure, for sure.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown. You mentioned that the stigma that came up with that movie, Concussion, and, you know, we've lived through it. I lived through it. I lived through the changes that started really in 2008 as we learned more, well, true research on concussions and the impact that it has on youth sports. And that's my career. My career is your youth sports, and it has been for 27 years. That's coincidentally how you've kind of rolled, is in the youth range. Now, with that, I noticed as more and more knowledge came out about concussions and how it was held back, I guess is the best way to put it, from everyone, that people, as you said, created a stigma. We saw a huge drop in football. We saw a huge increase in evaluations of concussions because we had a better understanding of it. However, concussions can happen in any sport. Much higher rate, we all know that, in a contact sport like football, where you're throwing a body around to tackle, hit, whatever. But flag football, totally different. Yep. I would imagine that the injuries that you see as a coach and or as a player, because I know you were dabbling still a little bit not too long ago, down in the Rose Bowl area. Yep, there's a huge adult flag football league, and I know you were playing in it. But the injuries in that type of football are completely different. Mm-hmm. And the treatment needed for those types of injuries are completely different. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to oversee the health and safety of those kids while they're playing? And what kind of injuries are most common in that youth sport?
So I guess the overall kind of management of their safety and injuries of that nature, you're still kind of taking the precaution level of football because it technically still is football. But it's just not as strenuous because it's not as much contact. So now with flag, we have them wear soft shell helmets instead of regular helmets. But these soft shell helmets still protecting their heads. So when the kids go up and try to make a catch, or when you might have guys running in opposite directions that still might bump each other, you're still going to have those type of moments, but they're less common. You still tend to see those injuries that you would see with a rugby, with a lacrosse, with a soccer, any other field type sport. So I'm saying like the pulling of a hamstring or calf muscle or anything else like that. But that just comes with proper stretching. That comes with proper, you know, warm-up techniques and making sure that the athletes are properly stretched and warm before they actually get to competition. So those would be some of the ways that we try to, try to stay away from injuries. But some injuries definitely do happen. They're not as high and not as often. So you definitely are getting a less risk of being injured, and they're more common injuries than there would be with tackle football. Cause you know, with tackle football, like you said, you're throwing folks' bodies and everything else. With flag, I'm just going for a flag. So you might still get the occasional jammed finger, but with tackle football, your jammed finger is definitely going to be happening.
It's coming. You're going to see the fracture. You're going to see the dislocation.
Exactly.
What you're seeing more with the, at least at your level, and when you're coaching, you've seen more strains and sprains, some of the more what we consider mild injuries that can be treated over time. Yep. Now, that's good to hear. At some of the events, I know there have been changes in demands in California, because we're in California for those three listeners out of state that are listening, that must mandate that we have some type of healthcare facilitator either an athletic trainer or paramedic, nurse, something like that on the sideline during a youth game for contact football. Is there anything currently that you're aware of for flag football? Any mandatory health considerations?
Not that I'm aware of. You actually bringing it up actually makes me even think about it even more. Just, I wonder if there are any mandates or anything else. But from what I'm aware of, no, there isn't a mandated, athletic trainer or staff to be on site. We do have a medical kit full with the regalia of everything that you'll have of a medical kit, of Band-Aids, tape, and all that other good stuff. But no, they're not from the rules that we have and that we've received for the last couple of years. There's been nothing mandated of actual medical trainers. So I actually can't see that as something that'll change in the future for sure. Because you always want to be making sure that you're protecting the kids. But yeah, that is something that I've definitely, not seen.
Maybe that's something you and I'll have to talk with. Was it Patrick Williams and Arthur Mourinho?
Yep.
Mourinho.
Yep.
Maybe that's something we'll have to bring up to them and say, hey, this might be a good idea to have the opportunity to have a clinician there to take care of somebody. Because I'm sure on game day, there's not just one game going. There's probably multiple going on site. Four at a time. Yeah, you never know. You get that many people running that many different directions, no matter what the age group. There's always a potential for something to happen. And having a healthcare provider there, like an athletic trainer, could be good. Although I know for certain that you as a coach are first aid CPR certified.
Yep.
Are the other coaches in your program first aid CPR certified?
The Adele coaches are. Most of my Adele coaches are CPR certified and everything else. And then actually the students that I typically choose are students normally in your class. So they should be also getting some of that CPR first aid training as well. So I tend to try to find at least a couple of guys that I can include with myself that'll know, some type of CPR and first aid training. And then typically I'll have some of our coworkers down there, the Mr. Ostroms, the Brother Bergdorfs, their kids have been in our programs from time to time. So sometimes I'll have another colleague here with me that I know has been trained in CPR and first aid certified.
So somebody's there just in case.
Yep.
Got it. Now, going back to your playing days, and you bring up a couple decent points, having an athletic trainer, medical staff around. Now, obviously, back in the day, it was myself taking care of you when you were, I'll never say you faked an injury, but boy, you seemed to get hurt right before, what was it? Running at the end of practice.
Right, running, man. I mean, I got to go to training room.
Yeah, I think I pulled something. Coach, let me go see Mr. Halleck. Gotta get this hammy looked at.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not like that the athletic trainer taking care of that high school student doesn't know that it's the facility's being used. And sooner or later, he or she walks out to the coach and says, yeah, that young man that keeps coming in, he's full of it. It's fine.
Keep him out here, man.
Yeah, keep him out here. He's fine. Now, when you moved out of St. Francis and to what state was it again?
Indiana,
because I always say the wrong state. So I want to make sure I get that state right. When you moved out to Indiana, were you fortunate enough to have medical attention at that high school?
I was. And sad to say, but true, they weren't you, my good brother. But it was
appreciate
a gentleman that definitely was almost close to your caliber. He was definitely cool, down to earth type of guy. Knew his stuff. His name was Michael Ahern, and he's actually still there at Valparaiso High School as the head trainer now. So it was super dope. He wasn't the head trainer at that moment. There was a female trainer that was actually over him, and I'm blanking on her name right now, but she was super cool, super awesome. They had a smaller training room than what we had. They weren't as technological advance or I guess
we are very fortunate at our facility.
Yes,
I won't argue that. So yes. Valparaiso High School in Indiana.
Yes.
And what was the athletic trainer that you can remember? What was his
Michael
name?
Michael Ahern.
A little Mike shout Ahern. Out to Michael Ahern.
Yep, yeah, we'll have to shout out to Mike Ahern. That's my guy, man.
We'll have to tag him on this. Make sure he's he knows he's getting a little prop from you.
Most definitely. But he always took care of me. It was funny. I took some of the same jokes that that you would have in your training room over to his training room, and he was cool with him. I remember there was one game when I walked into the training room, I was a little bit late, and it was a whole bunch of guys in there that wasn't about to play. So I walked in there and I said, "Hey man, this ain't no soup kitchen. What y'all in here doing, man? Like, let's get this stuff going." He starts busting out laughing. Everybody else starts laughing. I'm like, man, that's definitely an Eli joke right there, because I know Eli would clear these boys out of here. Like, look, bro, if you're not, come on, let's get it
going. Get on out. Let's get the players playing. We got to get them out of the field. Definitely. Right, exactly. And then you come back, the rest of you that might get in the game, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, we'll take
care of you. We don't want you getting hurt, but let's get the guys about to start on the field,
right
now.
Right. Totally. But nah, man, definitely took care of me. I really didn't get injured in Valpo, even though playing cold weather football was definitely something new for myself. Didn't have too many injuries, but the one injury that I can recall, I had a super bad wrist injury. He looked out for me, you know, made sure that my wrist was taken care of. That was back when we used to have, you remember the wax little thing? You've
been paraffin, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. I used to do that all the time. So
the boys that, like that so much, I don't want to have it in my training room. That's right? In my clinic. You'll be making wax balls all day, throwing them exactly. around. Yeah, I'm sure. Sure you had a little fun with that.
Oh, you know it. But nah, man, it was good people. And then when I got to Jackson State, same thing. Shouts out to St. Francis again, man, because I really have never been in a better training room than St. Francis' training room. Like, even when I got down to Jackson State, like, their training room still wasn't, it was a slightly bigger training room since it was a college facility and they needed to, you know, actually have a whole bunch of college athletes in there, but we had the same stuff that we had at St. Francis. There was two cold pool little tubs that were in there, two cold pool little tubs that we have down there. They had the big cow bin for, you know, ice tubs for all the linemen. We have those down there as well. So
we were definitely, or have been very blessed with our facility here at St. Francis over the last 26 years. So it's been fun, but it's also interesting to hear the similarities in the profession and taking care of the athletes, let alone the equipment when you can get it, is very similar as well.
Right. I can also say that St. Francis helped me to know, you know, what I needed medically wise and, you know, training room wise. Like, I knew what to look for when I was coming in the training room. Like, you showed us how to tape an ankle and how to tape a wrist and the proper things of, okay, if this is hurting you, you should be doing this. So when I came to Indiana and I was telling them, hey, you know, my knees is kind of hurting a little bit, but I know I got shin splints. I just need to get some ice. Hey, you know, I know my shoulder's hurting a little bit, but, you know, my old strength and conditioning or my old trainer taught me how to do this stretch and I could do it this way. Hey, I know you remember you used to always have to put my hips in place.
Oh, yeah, all the
and
time.
That was what I always used to love.
Oh, yeah. SI
I took that with me over to Indiana. It was like, nope, I gotta put my knees together. I need you to squeeze my knees real quick. Hold on, stick your hand between my knees so I can squeeze. So doing all of that and getting my hips right, just those different techniques that was taught to me at a young age, I was able to take those and still apply them and still get that going. And it goes back to coaching. You know, it goes back to, you know, when you taught us that, it was intentional. It was not only intentional of, you know, teaching me how to actually take care of my own body and also how to make your job a lot easier, because if I do all of these, you know, things, I probably won't be in the training room. And if I do them and I'm still in the training room, then that'll help you to mark off some boxes.
We were hoping just to keep you out of the training room, except for when you didn't want to run. That was the hope. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it was just those different ways of implementing that you cared, and we were able to see that you cared. And since we knew that you cared, this is important. This is something I want to make sure that I still do my hip alignment how you taught me, getting down, putting both feet together, getting that going. And I'm in my 30s. That's the same thing that Daniel Scott was just talking to me the other day. And he's like, bro, you know, I still do those drills that we did when you were coaching me up when I was getting ready to go play ball at Cal. And it's the small things, you know, it's the things that, you know, the people that really care for you when they're giving you that time, you could tell, and you not only want to take that with you, but when you take it with you, now you can start to implement it in the other ways of life.
So many people discount how intelligent youth are or teens are or a college athlete or any athlete. Everybody discounts how intelligent they are when often they can pick a phony out in a second.
In a second, yeah.
They know when all a coach wants is a win or a loss. They know when somebody cares or doesn't care. And like you said, they feed off of it. They react to it. They listen. They learn more from the person that cares.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of us pretend we don't care, but they all know we do.
Yeah, they know.
They know because they're not dumb. They come across those, I don't want to pick on coaches, just individuals in life that don't really care about what they do, what they say, what they think. And then they meet people like you.
Yep.
People like myself, Joel Dorning, our staff here, who do care.
Yeah.
And they realize, okay, these people care enough to help me. If I do that, I guess I'm going to get better. So let me try.
Right,
whether it's better in the classroom, better on the field, better on the court, or better in healthcare. And that's really interesting to learn that you carried what we taught you some days begrudgingly to Indiana, to Michael and the staff over at Valparaiso. And it helped you continue on with your career, which is, you know, it means we did the right thing. We did it well. You learned and were able to take it on. So that's a huge compliment. But I do take issue with one thing you say. My old trainer. I hope you mean old as in previous athletic trainer,
previous,
not
yes,
old
previous.
In age.
No,
okay.
Previous,
now,
previous.
I did catch that dig and wanted to just make sure you meant
previous
athletic trainer,
yes.
Not old as in age.
Okay, you don't care over 25, my good brother.
I appreciate that lie. Thank you so much. I'll take it.
I love it.
Oh, man. In all the years that you've been playing football, basketball, track and field, and I'm sure you did a number of other things previously. Mm-hmm. Can you think back of one time that really stood out that you learned not just a lot about yourself, but a moment where you learned or knew this is something I need to take and never forget because this is going to change me in my life?
Yeah. To be honest with you, the time that, and it's probably not a typical time that most people would think that you'll want to go back to, but the time that I actually recall where that switch just flipped for me was when I got hurt, when I ended up partially tearing my MCL in my right knee. And it was my red shirt sophomore year on the field. So it was my third year in college. It was my junior year in college, red shirt sophomore year on the field. I was playing in a game at Grambling State University, caught a pass over my shoulder, and I took a step and literally, boom, got tackled in my knee as I was playing. Thinking that it was a regular tackle, everything else, I tried to get up, couldn't put weight on my knee. Called the training staff out, boom. As soon as I tried to put weight on it again, knew it was over with. And as I was going to the sideline, like, it was kind of, it hit me in my head, but not really hit me. And then it really hit me the next day when I was back in my dorm room and I tried to put my leg down thinking that everything was all good and I fell out of the bed and I started crying. And so in that moment, of course, I couldn't play for the rest of the season, was out, was trying to rehab, luckily didn't need surgery because it was only a partial tear, so was able to just naturally let it heal. But I just saw how, quote unquote, the world forgot about me. You know, how my coaches really weren't checking on me. My coaches, you know, now that I couldn't play no more, it was kind of like, all right, Perky, on the sideline. Like, how my boys really couldn't kind of, it wasn't really, hey, Perk, let's go do this and all that, because now they have to keep their lives going and they're doing football stuff and they're still moving. And when I
that had to be mentally taxing for
yeah, it was. It was from traveling every week with the team, being a starter on the team, you know, barely coming off the field to now not even traveling with the team, not even, you know, getting, hey, how you been? Hey, how you doing? Like, I literally actually sat in my dorm room for about a week, didn't go to class, didn't do nothing. And I was depressed. I went through a tough moment. But in that moment, it made me realize that, one, this sports game is going to be done, you know. And
for everybody at some point, definitely.
Yep, for everybody at some point, you won't have to hang these cleats up and that jersey is going to go in the rafters. But after that, what are you going to do? Is sports your whole life, or are you going to have something that you can not only fall back on, but something that you can be as passionate as you were about these sports with? That was where I really started to kick in even more in my education. Like, I was already getting good grades. I was 3.0, 3.2 kid, but now I really started to push it even more. Now I really started to take those internships when I could. And instead of delving into football as much, I started to expand myself. I started to really start to think about life after football.
And I looked to the future at that point. That little injury caused you to think, wait a minute, how am I going to take care of myself in the future?
I got to feed my family one day too. So it got real. It got real, real for me. And thank God, you know, I had wonderful parents. Or have wonderful parents. They're still here.
I was going to say, past tense, wait a minute.
Right, yeah. I was about to say, I have wonderful parents in my life that, you know, not only raised me to keep on working and to keep on pushing through, but also raised me to know that, you know, sports wasn't my whole life. Like, I was more than sports. I was always more than my athletic achievements and everything else. Like, there was always a lot more to me. And so, you know, when I was in college, being able to kind of figure that out for myself and really go through one of those moments where I was like, yeah, all right, what are you going to do next? You know, your parents have been talking about it the whole time, and this might be that moment. You don't know if you're going to come back and play and still be the same guy and still be able to do everything that you did on the field. And luckily I was, but it was still just like one of those moments where I'm like, oh snap, here's real life. You know, where my feet really did hit the pavement and I wasn't running and I stumbled a little bit, but in that stumbling, I was able to learn, you know, not only my passion and what I wanted to do and how I knew I wanted to be a coach and a teacher and an eventual administrator, but how also I was going to be prepared for life after football, you know, because a lot of people aren't prepared for life after sports. They're putting sports in, which sports requires you to do. You got to put your all into it, because if you don't put your all into it, you're going to look back and be like, dang, I wish I should have, wish I could have
done a, I wish yeah. I could, yeah. I, yeah. everything, yeah. totally,
you don't want
totally.
To live by the wish factor. So Never. Now it's just like, give your all. But once that time is done, also be able to have something to fall back on. So I could honestly say that was the moment in life for me where I realized like, oh snap, like, okay, yeah.
Now, it sounds like you really had a core group that could really help you understand what your future looks like. Not mm-hmm. everybody is so fortunate to have a family like yours. You know, you had parents that sounds like they kept you grounded. And yep. I know they did. Mm-hmm. They kept you grounded. They let you see that the future is more than just athletics. Not everybody is so fortunate. You see it as a coach all the time. The parents were yelling in the stands, like you said, living through their kid, recapturing their youth, as I say it, mm-hmm. trying to become that athlete that they never were.
Yep.
Your parents said, look, son, you got to look further down the path. Mm-hmm. Not everybody gets that. Mm-hmm. And how do you deal with that parent as a coach, as an educator, that isn't looking past athletics as a potential future for their kid? How do you help them learn to take care of that young man, young woman, and really put them on a path for their future, not just in athletics?
I use myself and my coaches as examples. You know, that's another reason why, like you said, I surround myself with people that I know not only care like I care, but also I've kind of had some of a similar story than to what I've had to also the kids that we're working with. So all of my guys that are on my staff for the Foothill Knights, Dietrich Riley, Ray McDonough, Anthony Carter, myself, Evan Farley. We've all
great people, great, fantastic people. I know them all. Just really, they're all about the kids and development and making them better yep. people yep. for the future. So yep. What a fantastic staff.
We use it as examples. You know, now, you know, when I'm sitting here teaching your son, you're going to hear me. Because unfortunately, I am loud.
I could hear you from my office without the door open. So, yes.
You better believe it. So, while you're hearing this, and I've had parents come up to tell me this all the time, you know, man, Mr. Perkins, you're such a great leader. Like, you know, you're so inspiring. Why do you do this? Is because I not only really do care, is because I know for the fact they need to hear this. And they might not hear it from their parent, but you need to hear this message. Sometimes the parent needs to be just as receptive to the message as the athlete is. So I know there's sometimes when I'm out there coaching the kid, I'm also coaching the parent. I'm also saying some things that the parent might not even think about that they need to be saying, because clearly they can see that I have a connection with their son or I have a connection with their daughter, because when they leave here, their son or daughter is still talking about working out with Coach Perkins or working out with
their parent might be a little bit too afraid to say it or concerned about saying it.
Yeah. And now that gives me that avenue. Now I can technically be, you know, the quote unquote, you know, realistic guy. And they can still be the fantasy parent of, oh man, you might do this, you might get this going. And then I'm coming in, I'm saying, hey champ, even though you're working your butt off, and I call you champion for a reason. Just because you want to be a champion in this does not mean that you can't be a champion in this avenue, and it equates the exact same. Because you could be a champion in life just like you could be a champion in sports, and that's equal. That's the same, champ. You can hold an NBA trophy just the same way as you're holding that great promotion that you just got from a job that you worked your butt off for. That's the teaching and the coaching that I implement. And I feel that when parents see that, you know, even though I'm not, you know, talking directly to them, they're picking that up. They're seeing like, dang, like, okay, maybe I should, you know, maybe I can, you know, kind of implement or maybe, oh, this is, or like you said earlier, they're using a Mr. Perkins to kind of be that guy to, you know, remind their son or daughter to remain humble, you know, and that allows them to still keep pushing the big dream of, oh man, one day you might be in the league, one day you might get this going. And now I'm the humble guy that comes in and say, hey, your league might be a teaching league. Because I promise you, I thought I was going to the NFL and I thought I was going to be catching footballs on Sunday, but now I'm in the teacher FL. You know, and now you feel me? I'm pitching in the teaching federation league. This is my league. You know, this is my NFL, and I take this job as I would take the NFL. I'm gonna take it serious. I'm gonna give my best at it in everything that I do. And one day I'm gonna hopefully leave a legacy where, you know, my jersey or my name is left in the Raptors, or, you know, left someplace in memoriam of what I've done for the institution. So that's just what I try to implement, and that's the blessing that I have to be able to coach and work with other gentlemen like myself that can see that end goal. You know, they see that finish line. They know that there's a after sports, and I must prepare this athlete not only for sports, but also life after sports as well.
Yeah, well said. So, you know, it's already been an hour.
Oh, dang.
Actually, a little over an hour. It's amazing how quick this little session goes.
You know us, we could keep it going too.
Oh, you know us. If there are two people on this campus that could talk, it'd be the two of us. But we do have jobs, and we do have things we got to do around campus still. Yes, I've got one last question for you. Yeah. Actually, we'll do two. First one is pretty simple. If you could change one thing about athletics, what would it be? Ooh. That's a tough one, especially when you love something as much as we do. Is there anything you would change?
I would want more qualified coaches. And when I say qualified coaches, I'm saying guys that are, you're not only qualified to teach the game, but you're also qualified to actually be a mentor. You've taken some type of classes to learn about how to communicate with children, you know, in effective ways outside of sports. You know, you're learning how to deal with, you know, off court, off field, you know, issues, because I feel like we got too many coaches nowadays that don't really care about the off field issues as much as they should, but they're more focused on the on field performance. And they don't realize that the on field performance is being affected and impacted by the off field and off campus activities. And if you only just took 5 minutes, like before I start every practice, I always ask my kids, how's their day going? You know, how y'all doing, man? How's everything going? How was school today? You know, give me a highlight of your day. And I don't want to hear, oh, I'm not at school no more. You know, I want you to tell me something, because like we both know, sports are going to be done. And I still need you to know that life is awesome. Even if I'm not playing a sport every day, even if I'm not going to practice every day, life is great. Like, and there's so many great things that I can look to in my life that makes life great. And you got to be able to find these things, champ, because you're going to see the negatives all the time. The negatives are going
to
be there.
They are out there nine to five nonstop from every direction.
9 to 5 nonstop, 24/7.
Yep.
So that's one thing I wish I could definitely change with coaching.
I like that. I would add one thing to it. And this is a personal preference. also understanding what an appropriate healthcare provider, like an athletic trainer,
what we
really do for you guys, you know,
man.
And don't get me wrong. I know you do. I could pick so many coaches that really do, but it's when we come across that coach that doesn't understand.
Yeah. Or I think you're taking away from practice.
Exactly.
Well, my practice time is more important than your physical time. Yeah. And you telling them that no,
they forget our goal is to, you know, take care of this kid, make him or her strong and healthy, and get them back out to the field in a strong and healthy manner so they can perform at the level they need to. Yeah. Yep. So that would be my one addition to your comment.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm right there with you. Yep.
Now, thinking about everything we've said today, everything we've talked about in the past, if you had a individual sitting in front of you, standing in front of you saying, you know, I'm thinking about becoming a teacher coach. I'm thinking about, you know, I realize my future in the NFL, the NBA is questionable at 5'2" and 100 pounds. What kind of advice would you give that young man, young woman that's thinking about being a teacher, thinking about being a coach, and giving back to their community?
Do it. Do it. That's honestly, you don't even realize the impact that you're already about to have on your community. You know, because once again, now you can use your life as an example. What everybody has to remember, and even I tell my students this, I tell my athletes this, I try to remind myself this all the time. You know, we as human beings, we have a mission, you know, and that's to not only spread God's love across this earth, but it's to leave an impact, you know, and what better way than to leave an impact than to give back to your community, to individuals that are coming from where you're coming from, that are walking the same walk that you walk, by giving them something that you can't get back, time. There's one thing in this world that we can never get back, and that's time. And if I'm
so
sitting
here
giving you my time, that's not only showing you that I really do care about you and I really do want you to succeed, but it's also it's planting that seed. It's so amazing. And you get to see it for yourself. I know you get to see it every day that you know, you talk to me, you talk to Joel, you know, you talk to, like, it's that seed that you planted when we were that young knucklehead at St. Francis. When you pulling them in, come here, get your stuff right, all of that. And now, look at that seed. You know, now that seed is now flourished into this blossoming tree that not only has his own family, but is now planting seeds that were planted in him. You know, it's just that coolness of planting that seed. Like right now, I'm wearing one of our students, you know, little jackets that he got me, Brother Kennedy. But it's awesome to say that, you know, there was a seed planted there, you know, and now that seed's going to go off. Cause I was talking to him today. He's like, yeah, Coach B, I actually want to, you know, study history and study English. I might want to become a teacher like you. And I'm like, dang, like, you know, here I am thinking that, you know, I'm just teaching history, you know, and not really doing nothing. But, you know, now it's that whole implementation of, we really are, you know, making an impact and changing lives. So I would say to anybody, you know, if you're thinking about being a teacher, thinking about being an educator, thinking about being a coach, you know, do it.
Just do it.
Yeah, because there's some kid out there that really needs you, that really is going to not only gravitate to your love, but going to gravitate to you. And it's not only going to make you feel better, but it's going to continue on a cycle of that greatness. You know, that greatness that we need in our society. So for sure.
And you will never know potentially that impact you made.
Yep.
So true. So true. Yep. Well, Brother Perkins, always fantastic to sit down and talk with you, whether it's on the field, on the court, or in the classroom. So I appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you for being on the podcast today. Thank you for being part of this episode and talking to us. Don't worry, we'll have you back again, because it's always fun.
You know it, my brother. The pleasure is mine. I'm truly blessed. And to the podcast world, man, you're listening to a real great one here, man. He's dropping some knowledge.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Have a good one, Michael. Talk to you later, buddy.
All right, you too, brother.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Halleck. It is produced by Gabriel Halleck. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Halleck Consulting, LLC.